This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. Had this been a normal day, April 29th was circled on my calendar as the day that the Knox County CEO program that deals with young entrepreneurs, you might say, was supposed to have its annual trade show today, and we had been planning on doing my program from there tonight. So since that can't happen, but we will talk about something that they've been doing this week to that end in a little bit. But I guess it's appropriate that at least I try to drag Ken Springer, president of the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development, in the studio anyway because of some news that has come out today. So, Ken, I knew I'd get to talk to you one way or another today.
Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. Before I ask you about this facility, we talked very early on when you were just trying to sort out how things would operate, all the options for small businesses and things like that. From your office's operation, what's changed in the last month, if anything?
Well, we're still continuing to advise small businesses on the financial the programs that have come out at the state and federal level. Right now, the most active of those programs is the Federal Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP. So really, we've just been working with a lot of small businesses, answering questions, helping people fill their applications out. That program looks like it's going to be very, very popular. It's already ran out of money once and was recapitalized last week. So, we're just continuing to advise businesses and just trying to encourage people to stay in there. And for those listening, continue to support small businesses. They need you more than ever.
Sure do. Was it disconcerting, though, that, one, the program ran out of money once, but two, part of the reason it did was because there were these reports of some of these bigger employers, like a couple of restaurant chains, the LA Lakers, for instance, and others, trying to get in on some of this money when, by all rights, they probably didn't really need it?
Yeah, I mean,
nor were they really small businesses.
You always hope that the programs are being used appropriately. I guess my take on this is I'm glad that the federal government was able to create a fiscal stimulus program that was designed well enough that to have such a large amount of demand. Because a lot of times what happens is you'll see programs that are created that have just, ridiculous application requirements or from a functional standpoint, they just don't make sense for a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. And so the conclusion I drew from the PPP program is it ran out of money because it was effective. And there are probably some businesses that, the Lakers, as you mentioned, are kind of a real head scratcher as far as why were they able to access those funds. But I know from talking to lenders here in this community that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small businesses were able to utilize that program.
I saw something and if I'm misquoting this, I'm sure somebody will correct me that, for example, F&M Bank here worked with small businesses on maybe coupled to maybe $20 million or more worth of loans through that program. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard one lender I won't name who it is, but one lender I talked to said that they essentially did the equivalent of like half a year's worth of commercial deals just through the PPP program.
My goodness.
Yeah, and so, there's a lot of bankers in this community who are putting in just ridiculous hours in order to process those PPP applications, working through the weekends, working overnight. I know some of these banks were working in shifts where they had, shift A and shift B. And there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes to make one of these programs happen. And so, the Lakers thing, gets a lot of headlines. But what doesn't get the headlines is these lenders crunching out numbers behind the scenes for hours in order to get, people to be able to access this capital.
It's interesting, though, that you say that this program was clearly effective because, in part, it seemed to be put together in a really, really quick time period, which kind of goes against everything you might think of with a program like this being formed.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Will. And I wonder, too, if part of that might be just lessons learned from the 2008-2009 financial crisis.
Yeah.
And my memory, I'm getting to the age where my memory isn't, as good as it used to be.
But you're getting to that age. Look at who you're talking to here.
I don't recall during the 2008-2009 crisis the stimulus programs coming together as quickly. You got to remember, I know it feels like it's been 2 years, but like 6 weeks ago, things were pretty much normally operating here in this country. And so all this stuff has happened in just such a quick period of time. I think that's encouraging. Maybe we learned some lessons.
It is March 475th, after all, so, you know, so it feels like, anyway. Let's move on to why you're here today. A new interesting-sounding agricultural-based company wants to open up shop here in town.
Yeah, we are extremely excited to announce a new company moving to Galesburg.
But, Ken, I thought you said you had to pivot how your office was operating because of COVID-19 and trying to help people stay in business.
Yeah.
How'd you get a deal done in all this?
We can do two things at once, right? We can
okay,
do two things.
We're always
looking for projects like this, and this is such a great deal, and I really hope that this helps lift some spirits around here. But this is a new company. It's a South Dakota based company. They make plant based ingredients for the broader food processing industry. So everybody knows there's a huge explosion right now in plant based proteins
yeah.
and other plant based ingredients. You can go to Burger King and get your Impossible Whopper, which are delicious, by the way.
I've been wanting to try it, but I just can't pull the trigger on that.
They're amazingly good, and I'm embarrassed to be talking about Burger King. Is something that I love culinarily, but it is amazing.
No, so anyway. says the guy who called me out off the air for wanting to order two things online that were not from small businesses.
Oh, okay. It's gonna be one of these interviews.
No, we're fine. But yeah, but it just goes to show you how popular that plant-based meats and things like that have become. And even though they've been around in some forms for a while, just to, how they've exploded in just a really recent period of time.
Oh yeah, I mean you look at the Beyond Burgers. There's all kinds of different plant-based proteins that are out there, and so I love this deal. Number one, because again we're bringing a company to town, which is always awesome. But number two, these guys are in an industry that is really taking off. Food processing in general is a very, very good industry to be in the United States. Nationwide, the food processing industry has expanded incredibly over the last 15, 20 years. And so this gives us another entry into that industry. I think it's just a really strong project. They're going to create some jobs. They're going to refurbish a building in South Galesburg. What's not to like about it?
Tell me a little bit more about this Innovative Production USA. You say they're a new company. Is that concerning at all that they're new and already maybe looking to expand, especially in an environment like we have at the moment?
So they're not a new company.
Okay.
They've been in this industry for a number of years. In fact,
okay.
all the principals have spent, I mean, their entire careers working in the food production and the food processing industry.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
they've got a lot of experience. They've got an existing customer base. This is a dedicated production facility for the company. I don't have a lot of concern having worked with these guys and knowing quite a bit about the company. Again, I just think this is a great opportunity for the community, and I think this is great news for folks to hopefully rally around and be excited about.
So what sold them on Galesburg, do you think?
I think
what did they tell you sold them on Galesburg?
Well, they love the charm of our – no, it was the facility that they are going to refurbish met their needs very, very well, and
yeah.
that was extremely important. In addition, one of the members of the senior leadership for the company actually does have some Galesburg ties.
Okay.
So that was really cool. In general, no, I just think our community met their needs and, we were able to get a deal done with them. Now we're not totally done with this. We're asking city council on Monday night to approve a small, revolving loan, which will be used for working capital. That's part of the financing package for this project. It's a very small part of that financing package. The rest of it's being done conventionally. So we're hoping that city council will approve this on Monday night. But if they do, then we've got a nice new new employer coming to the community.
How much are they looking for to that end?
To the revolving loan will be $250,000.
Not much.
Not much. No. It's a good size. We have certain threshold requirements for the city's loan program. You can only borrow X number of dollars based on the jobs that you're going to create, and they're going to create far more jobs than are necessary for that $250,000 loan. So we think it's a really strong deal. Again, it's a new company coming to the community. It strengthens our economy. It helps diversify our economy. I mean, there's just so much to like about this.
They are looking at hiring, you say, between 25 and 45 people?
That's correct. Yeah, within the first 2 years, they're gonna create between 25 and 45 new positions.
So not a large number of jobs, but a good-sized number of jobs, as you said, in an industry that's really taking off.
Yeah, and who knows what they could grow into in the future. I mean, there's always the potentiality that they expand and grow in the future as well. So I think it's a good project. You know, 25 to 45 jobs, that's absolutely nothing to sneeze at. These are going to be good quality jobs as well. So, yeah, we're just super excited about this project.
This building is at 701 West 6th in Galesburg that they are looking to rehab and reuse. For folks who may not know, tell me about that particular facility.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about the history of it, but it's down on if you take Henderson Street south of Main.
Yeah,
it's down there. It's a little bit north and a little bit east of where United Facilities is located.
Okay, you think you have memory problems? By the way, just think of me. I'm trying to think of exactly where this is, and you know, I'm directionally challenged, so you know,
but so, yeah, so
but it sounds like a decent sized facility.
Yeah, it's a good size facility, and again, it meets the needs of the project. It fits what they were looking for, yeah, we were excited that they were able to pull the trigger on it.
Do you expect at some point maybe more businesses or more manufacturers like this might want to come to this area? I mean, on the one hand, as you said, it's a growing industry. On the other hand, you're right in the middle of agriculture here, and this is an ag-based company.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're the feedstocks for the plant-based ingredient industry comes from plants, right? So yeah, I'd love to grow more jobs and more investment in this industry. I mean, I think food processing in general is one of the safest industries. It's almost recession proof. Now, of course, nobody can control when you have a pandemic that shuts down, you know, pork processing plants and stuff like that. I mean, that's unforeseen. But in general, food processing is seen as one of the most recession proof industries that you're going to be able to find. And domestic food production industry has been doing very, very well. I can tell you that we've seen interest. We and other economic development organizations have seen interest in food processing from a lot of foreign companies over the last couple of years. And I think part of that is the regulatory environment in the United States is very, very good. It's seen as the worldwide standard. And so food that is produced in the United States, even if it is consumed abroad, that made in the USA sticker on the food products indicates a certain level of cleanliness and strict regulatory oversight.
In terms of timeline on this project, what are they looking at? When do they hope to open?
As soon as possible. They've got to do some renovation. I mean, obviously we have to get the deal closed first, and then they'll do the renovations on the project, and then I would assume they'd begin hiring. I don't have an actual date timeline on that. I think a lot of that's going to depend on how quickly they can get the building renovated. But I know they're itching to go. They want to get up and running.
I have a couple of minutes left, so let me pivot to a couple of other things here. You kind of brought it up there toward the end just a minute ago. Does the closure, even though the president is looking at trying to get these meat processors and things that are closed back open up, does that concern you at all, given that one of those that's at least closed for a little bit of time here is the Smithfield plant in Monmouth?
That's a tricky question, because I don't want to get out of my depth on any of the epidemiological type stuff.
Oh, sure, sure.
No valid.
I guess I'm wondering if that has a hit on the economy somehow, even though that all the workers, at least in Monmouth, are supposedly going to be paid during the time off and things like that. And
yeah, but
and we kind of there's a lot of uncertainty, I guess, with this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you also have to look at the supply chain. I mean, there's a lot of hog farmers here in the region too that supply. Supply the raw material for the Smithfield plant. So no, I would hope that the plant could be restarted as long as it can be done safely. I mean, that's very, very important. I was glad to see that Smithfield continued to pay their workers. As I think everybody knows, that plant employs just an astronomical amount of people in the region, including large numbers that commute over from Galesburg and elsewhere around the region. So I would hope that it can get restarted. I really hope that this doesn't put too much of a crimp on the supply chain, because I know there's a whole network of individuals that are affected by this.
By the way, for folks listening, we do hope to talk with some folks from the Knox County pork producers in the coming days on the program to talk about how they're doing with all this. As I mentioned at the beginning, this was supposed to be the day that the Knox County CEO program held its trade show that you kind of had to pivot and hold that virtually. Talk to me real quick about the program and what they're doing this year.
Yeah, so it's our high school entrepreneurship program, and usually the end of the year culminates in a trade show where the students show off the businesses that those students created over the course of the school year. And it's usually a big event where we bring all kinds of people in from the public and schools and the media, and it's a big event. We couldn't do it this year, obviously, because of COVID-19. So what we did instead was we had the students shoot little vignettes of their business, little videos, short. They're about 2.5 minutes each. Mm-hmm. And each day this week, we are featuring one of our 5 students in the program. And the videos are amazing. The students did a great job planning for them. Last time I checked, we're getting thousands of views on them on our Facebook. And so you can find those by either going to the Knox County Area Partnerships Facebook, or you can go to the Knox County CEO Program Facebook and watch those videos. And today's Wednesday, so there's 2 students left to debut, but we really hope you go and watch all those videos and leave them a nice comment. Those kids put a lot of work into their businesses, and they're really bummed out they couldn't do a trade show.
Yeah, I was really impressed last year being at the show with the energy and the motivation that the kids had to try to start their own businesses, and it sounds like this year's no exception.
No, and one of the things that we've pivoted the class to being taught remotely, just like all of our school classes are right now, and we really just adapted. I mean, we've challenged the kids and said, okay, you guys have a setback in your business. You can't sell in person now. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And we let the kids improvise, adapt, and overcome, and they've all kind of found their own way to still be able to offer products and services during this time. And that's just been real amazing. And to me, that's exactly what you would see out of any other entrepreneur, right? I mean, all businesses right now are trying to figure out their best way forward through this crisis.
What sorts of businesses are the kids starting this year?
Oh, there's some cool ones this year.
Yeah.
We have one student that is painting custom athletic shoes.
Oh, wow.
Which, I didn't really get because I don't think I can dribble a basketball without it bouncing off my foot.
Yep. But, same.
But apparently that's a big thing. Like these custom paint jobs on sneakers is a big deal. And so he actually does these custom paint jobs, and, he's actually got, a member of one of the NBA teams that wants him to do a pair of shoes for him.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we got that. That's one of the businesses. Another of our students created a greeting card company.
Okay.
And she's been doing very, very well with that. Another student has a mobile detailing service for cars. So this individual will come and he will detail your car for you and like while you're at work, which is extremely convenient.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. The other one, we got an Ag Scout drone business.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the last one is a bakery. We have a bakery.
No kidding.
Yeah. So totally wide range. I mean, each of these businesses reflects the students' passion. I just love this program.
Combine the drone business and the bakery, and you might have something.
There you go. Cookies. Aerial cookie delivery.
I see. Kids, your next $1 million idea just came right here.
See, we might owe you a consultant fee. By
Well, you know, I don't want to take too much credit for it, but that's great that you're still able to showcase those kids. And again, you can go to the KCAP Facebook page or the CEO program page to find out more. And hopefully we can return the program back to some semblance of normal next year.
Yeah, we should have an announcement actually very soon about the next year's class. All I can tell you at this point is that it's going to be big. It's going to be a big class.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So we'll have to talk more when that happens.
Awesome.
Ken Springer, president of the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development, thanks again for coming in tonight and telling us about this new business and the new businesses of the kids, too. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And thanks for helping our community. Stay tuned. We'll come back with business news, and later on we'll talk about a drive-up food pantry, all still ahead on Galesburg's Evening News.